This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are still battling it out for the Democratic nomination, but Senator John McCain has the Republican nomination sewn up and is going in for a victory hug from President Bush. Plus, the Black Mayor's Convention is packing up and moving because of the Detroit mayor's legal problems. For more on all things political, we've got Dr. Mary Frances Berry. She's a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also a former commissioner of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, and Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators. He is also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Hi, folks.
Hello, Farai.
Hello, Farai.
So it's great to have you guys on, as always. I'm going to actually start with you, Ron. You've got the president officially endorsing John McCain. The flowers and the hugs are out. What does this do for Senator McCain and for the Republican Party?
I think what this does, first and foremost, Farai, is the beginning of the handoff of the torch from President Bush to now the new leader of the Republican Party, which is Senator McCain. You will find the White House, the Republican National Committee, and the congressional campaigns now taking their lead and their direction from Senator McCain from here forth through the November election. What are the policies? What are the politics? What is the best path forward that Senator McCain, now as the new presumptive leader of the Republican Party, will forge? So it's a very symbolic handing of the torch today, and I think that you'll see President Bush move to the side and let Senator McCain take more of the spotlight.
That's big, Mary. I mean, the whole idea that it's not just about the election, it's about the whole Republican leadership. Do you buy that? Do you think that the Republican leadership has essentially passed the torch to McCain?
Well, I think that's right, because Bush is so over. I mean, he's just over. And it's just a matter of time. And there's nobody else who can claim. Poor old Huckabee, I sort of liked him being in there. He's kind of funny. He's gone. And everybody else. So there is nobody else who has that stature. They don't have the Congress. There's nobody else. And Supreme Court justices don't speak in public politically. So there's McCain. And so he's the whole ball of wax now.
Now, there's all sorts of dynamics that the Republicans are going to have to face. When you take a look at things, Ron, you've got earlier this week McCain accepting the endorsement of the televangelist John Hagee. He's referred to the Roman Catholic Church as a false cult, and that got a lot of people hot under the collar. On the other hand, he seemed to tick off another supporter who was repeating the chant Barack Hussein Obama, and that guy now says that he's no longer going to support McCain. So it's kind of he's in a Scylla and Charybdis position. How's he going to navigate those waters of what conservatives want?
Well, I think what Senator McCain, in the luxury that he has right now with the Democratic nomination not being sewn up, Senator McCain's going to be on page 2, page 3, page 4 of the newspapers, while the newspapers are going to focus instead on Senator Clinton and Senator Obama and the battle and the palace intrigue. What Senator McCain has to do now that the spotlight is not firmly upon him, now that he's the nominee, is to mend those bridges. You were making reference to Bill Cunningham, the conservative talk radio host in Cincinnati. Senator McCain needs to lay out the case to the conservative tax groups, to the conservative talk radio show hosts, and the Republican base. Those are who are concerned about his positions on taxes and immigration and campaign finance, and shore up their support now, such that when the Democrats finally settle on their nominee, Senator McCain will have his troops behind him, and he'll go in with a financial as well as a support base from the conservatives.
Mary, is this a double standard in the sense that when Minister Louis Farrakhan showed support for Barack Obama, Obama publicly denounced or rejected Farrakhan's support? Is it a situation where McCain should be held to that standard for Hagee?
Well, I think everybody should be held to the same standard, but as one of those so-called black leaders who a few years ago we were all asked in public by media to whether we denounced Louis Farrakhan. I've been down this road before. And then we were all asked whether we rejected him, and we had to go back and forth and all do that dance in public because of his views. I think that everybody should be held to the same standard, and McCain should avoid being endorsed in this period. Now he's the nominee by people that won't help him, and they'll just raise questions. He's got to avoid that and only be endorsed by people who are going to help him. That's really tough to do when you're a candidate, and he ought to be made to apologize or do the denunciation, the light fantastic like everybody else.
Now, Mary, you've talked a lot about internecine warfare among the Democrats. Are you afraid that it's just a wrap from here on out, that there's going to be, you know, there's charges of skin darkening and commercials and false allegations? Are you afraid for the Democrats?
Well, not really. I mean, I've seen much nastier campaigns in my time. I think what's going to happen here, and it's good that it's not all wrapped up. I mean, just think if it were. We would have from March all the way to August in the convention to do what? to have people define candidates in ways that don't make sense. And we have a lot of people who haven't voted yet. We have some fun of figuring out who's going to win, because Florida and Michigan, I predict, will be resolved by the DNC in some way, probably a do-over between now and the time, because the Democrats desperately need Florida to win the election, the general election, and they're not going to leave Florida hanging out there. And then there's this, the suspense about whether superdelegates are really going to do what they were designed to do, which is to figure out who can win the election and go to that person, or they're going to be afraid that they'll alienate one group of the party, the blacks, the women, the Latinos, and will they drive the Latinos to McCain? All those interesting questions that the superdelegates have to sort out, because they don't want to be responsible for picking somebody who loses. And so I think that there won't be really nasty things of the type I've seen in other campaigns. But I do think one thing, Barack Obama needs to come to terms with the fact that, yes, his middle name is Hussein. It's a perfectly honorable name. Just because Saddam Hussein was named that, I mean, hey, there are people in the Muslim world all around and here in the United States who are named that. So that doesn't get to
embrace your inner Hussein. Mary, I have to move us on. We got a couple more things to touch on, and I'm going to ask you guys to keep it tight. On CBS's The Early Show, Clinton hinted that she could share the Democratic presidential ticket with Barack Obama. Just really quickly, Ron, do you buy that? And then Mary, do you buy that?
No, of course I don't. I don't think there's any conceivable way. Senator Clinton has looked at this as being a coronation for her, and Senator Obama has muddied the waters for her waltz to the nomination. I don't think she would go with Senator Obama on the ticket.
I think if Obama gets it, she wouldn't be Veep. If she gets it, he might be Veep.
Now, one last topic. There is a scandal going on.
Was that tight enough for you?
That was really tight. I was like, where's my next question? What am I going to do now? but there's this scandal involving the Detroit mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick, and the National Conference of Black Mayors basically was like, hey, we're out of here. We're moving our annual convention. They let go of 1,100 hotel rooms. Detroit could use the money. Do you think this is a good decision for the Conference of Black Mayors, Mary, to say we just got to get out of here?
I think it's a wonderful decision because Kilpatrick should have resigned by now. And the longer he stays on, you know, the more of a problem it is. And maybe other people who are supposed to go there won't go. And it's a great decision for New Orleans, which is where I think the Conference of Black Mayors has decided that they're going to meet. So I think that Kilpatrick is an albatross around the necks of the people in Detroit right now, whether they know it or not. And I think most of them do. And I think he should resign. And it's a good decision on the part of the mayors.
Ron, do you think that this sets a precedent for good governance? And what about Detroit?
Well, I feel sorry for the people of Detroit. I echo what the good professor said a second ago. Absolutely. This is a terrible, terrible situation that the mayor has put himself in due to his own personal lack of discretion, shall we say. And the people who live in Detroit are the ones who are made to suffer. Detroit has been on somewhat of an economic rebound. There have been companies that have moved there, companies that are interested in investing there. And his personal behavior, his bad behavior, has led folks to move out from this convention, has had people give a second glance at the city of Detroit, Michigan, which is a shame. He should go. He should resign. He's a disgrace.
Well, it's always great to talk to you guys. Thanks so much.
All right.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care, Farai.
Bye.
Ron Christie is the vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. And Dr. Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and a former commissioner of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And they both joined us from our DC studios.